Dr. Miyano from World of Antiquity has started a new series of short videos where he asks questions of alternate history people that they can't answer. And since I'm a rebellious alternate history person, I went ahead and answered the first, and I'm going to do it here in detail because when I answered it the first time, it was in a short format. It doesn't address all the details very well, and for whatever reason, YouTube has decided not to show it to anybody, even though it's got great metrics with the less than 5% of my subscriber base that have been allowed to see the damn thing. So anyway, we're going to go ahead and get into this in detail, and I'm going to answer the question that I can't answer. Hi, I'm Dan, and welcome to Dedunking. Obviously, Dr. Miyano's position could best be summed up by letting him speak, and since he's all chill about copyright stuff, here's a big chunk of his short here to lay it out.
Things that alt-ancient history folks can't explain. They claim that the Sphinx was not created during the time of dynastic Egypt, but more than 12,000 years ago. They say the condition of the limestone on the Sphinx enclosure, and a bit on the Sphinx body, show evidence that rainfall weathered it for many thousands of years. But geological research has shown, between 11,000 and 5,500 years ago, the level of the Nile River at Giza was a lot higher, and the Sphinx sits at a very low point, so much so that the Sphinx enclosure would have been full of water. And a weak limestone object like this sitting in the river and being assailed constantly by its flow would have been worn down much more than it is. The neck is particularly weak. So why is most of the Sphinx still there?
Now, to clarify his position here, he's talking about the Khufu branch of the Nile River, which most likely existed up until around the time of King Tut or so. And it was said to have been used to supply the pyramids with some construction materials, and there is decent evidence for that. Because the river flowed up to the Giza Plateau during the 4th Dynasty, according to the findings of the paper. And the paper also points out that the river was higher in the pre-dynastic era, with the implication the area around the Sphinx was almost covered in water most of the year, and during the flood season it would be completely covered in water. The Sphinx enclosure is dug into the earth. It is below the hypothetical water level of this branch of the Nile.
So how is it that rain could have made those weathering marks? Does it rain underwater?
Well, in my short video response, I answered that exact question.
You would have to find a way to keep the water from getting into that hole. Luckily, up here in Washington State, we figured that out decades ago.
This is what's known as a dam. We use these in Washington State to keep the water off of pieces of ground that we don't want the water to get onto.
Pretty simple, huh? You just put some dirt between the water and the area that you want to keep dry, and then you can, like, dig it down, and you've got a dry enclosure. Like, entire cities are kind of, like, built this way and stuff. It's crazy. But, you know, that's a simple answer to a complicated problem, because despite his video only being 1 minute long, it links a paper that's got some heavy implications, especially the way that he portrays it. And I've touched on the paper in the past, but I really just mentioned that it's one hypothesis of several. It's by no means definitive. But this time, let's go ahead and, like, actually dig into the paper a little bit and address some of the things here, like the posts of it, that Dr. Miyano's building his little table of it, or what argument, or whatever metaphor you want. You get what I'm saying. We're going to start kicking some legs out. Let's have some fun. This is a map of the Nile during the 4th Dynasty in relation to Giza. With the higher water level in the Nile, this was supposedly used to supply the construction of the Giza necropolis. Now notice here there are 5 places where cores were taken. The first thing that's important to note is the model they derived from these cores. This model here that shows the Nile much higher only used G1 and G4. 3 of the 5 samples were excluded. Why? The paper doesn't say, nor does it include the data in the appendix with the data for G1 and G4. Those are the only 2 samples that are included, and they're the 2 farthest samples from the site of Giza. Now, it's important to note that they also used regional water levels being higher to support their hypothesis, including some of the rivers that feed into the Nile. So, their hypothesis that the water level was higher in those days does actually make a lot of sense. But there is 3 of those 5 data samples missing, and we'll discuss why in a second. There is probably a good reason, but it's not mentioned in the paper that I could find. And again, the data is not presented at all. It would be nice if the other 3 cores had their data presented. Maybe if one of their colleagues asked them, that they would find those 3 data sets there. Hint, 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 hint. But there's a bigger issue with the conclusion Dr. Miyano takes from this paper. One that seems so apparent when looking at this map, I couldn't stop myself from chuckling when I confirmed it. Do you see this section here, the squared off rectangular looking section? Looks kind of man-made, right? Well, that's because it is. This came from Mark Lenner's paper on the matter, and he points out this entire region here is artificial. Man-made canals and basins designed to provide the Giza Plateau with water access. This is probably why the core samples from the area were excluded. I mean, if they offered little evidence for anything except for artificial waterways, they wouldn't be very useful in determining the Nile's level over time. At any rate, my point is, in pre-dynastic times, the Nile was quite a bit further from Giza than this map shows. Making any assumption of water level covering the Sphinx enclosure based on these areas of water rising? Flawed. Those areas were not water until the 4th dynasty, according to Mark Lenner, and they were dry land. Part of the floodplain, for sure, but not part of the Nile River proper. And it being part of the floodplain brings us back to the dam idea. I mean, if Dr. Miano's going to use the water level being higher to debunk the idea of a 12,000-year-old Hancockian Sphinx, he's going to have to remember that things like levees and dams exist, and they're not hard to construct. And the thing is like, okay, like, just to speculate for a second, you know, if that outcrop of rock has been venerated for a long time, like I've said in another video, I think it's probably the original primordial mound of Egyptian mythology, the primordial Benben stone. Here's a link thingy over there. You can click on it after the video or, you know, whatever. There's another video to watch. Watch that one too, please. Thanks. Anyway, if that was the case, if this piece of rock is, you know, facing due east, natural outcrop of rock, barely sticking out of the water, there's this tiny little area of land that's barely above the water level, it makes sense that this spot would have been one that when it flooded, it got filled up a little bit, got covered, and then it looked like it was, oh my God, check this out, blah, blah, blah. It's rising primordial mound. It becomes symbolic. If that became a thing and this area became venerated, it absolutely makes sense that they would build stuff to protect that area so that they could still visit it or, you know, protect their engravings or whatever the hell over time. And the idea that the Sphinx has been recarved numerous times isn't novel. It's not mine. It's many pyramidiots have posited this before, and that needs to be brought into play when we're talking about this too. You can't just say, oh, it was carved way back then and the way it was now. The Sphinx enclosure is where all of the Mr. Shock's arguments are pinned to. And then, of course, there's all those artificial waterways that we talked about a second ago. All of these being dug would completely destroy any signs of a levee or a dam being there. But Dr. Miano, he has an answer for me there. Nice try, but the core samples that determined the water level were taken from the actual riverbed next to Giza. If the water level was lower due to a dam, the samples would have given different readings. But these are the G2, 3, and 5 cores, the ones that have no data presented for them in the paper. So he can assume that they support his position. I can assume that they don't, but I'm not going to do that. But, you know, maybe he didn't check and see that, you know, all the cores are not supporting his position on that. I'm not sure. I mentioned it to him on Twitter. He hasn't responded to that aspect of our conversation yet at the time of recording. If he does, I'll post some words around here somewhere. But at any rate, even if, you know, the cores were, even if we had data from the cores, again, those areas near the Giza Plateau were dug out so that they could have water coming in there, artificial waterways, canals and basins, right? So these artificial digging into the ground probably destroyed most of the evidence of exactly how the river was in times before that, in more recent times before that. So it's really difficult, in my opinion, for him to say for sure that this is how that's going to play out when he does find data for those cores. The other thing that I would mention here is if they built a small dam or levee, if they built like just something small around the Sphinx itself to protect it, and during the flooding season, flooding time of year, whatever, that would be awfully difficult to determine nowadays. It's the kind of thing, but that area has been heavily trampled on, and that way a mound of dirt is a mound of dirt, and if it, you know, it gets dismantled by the water eroding away at it over time, it's the kind of thing that the core samples, we would need core samples on both sides of where that potential mound would be. That's the basic. You would need a core sample right next to the Sphinx enclosure and a core sample like 100 yards away or whatever, and you could compare those two, and if there's a big difference, there's a dam or a levee, but if there's not, then you could safely say that there's not. But that's what the kind of data we would need in order to determine this. Now, as I've said before, I don't believe the Sphinx was carved in its current iteration 12,000 years ago. I believe that it was probably a venerated chunk of rock, and like I mentioned a minute ago, the OG Benben stone, but I don't think it was a Sphinx 12,000 years ago. But it was most likely sacred so long, the memory of it first being venerated was ancient in the First Dynasty. Many rulers of that area put their hands on it over the eons, making accurate dating of the site an absolute futile pursuit in many ways. So why do I take issue with Dr. Miano's argument? Because it's just plain wrong. It relies on assumptions and fundamentally misses the mark. It's the kind of thing that an alt researcher absolutely can answer, and do so with a pretty good degree of confidence, as long as they're willing to put in a little bit of legwork and a little bit of thought. And then we can quickly touch on the fact that this paper only goes back 8,000 years. It doesn't even go to the original construction time of the Sphinx, if you believe Graham Hancock's 12,000 years ago thing. So if the Sphinx was really made 12,000 years ago, this paper doesn't even tell you where the Nile water level was back in those days. Dr. Miano has presented no data to tell us where the Nile was in those days, from what I can see. So that is, again, it's just this whole entire thing is just, it's flawed. It's basically the water would have completely eroded the Sphinx away, and the Sphinx enclosure couldn't have existed back then, period, end of story, because, and again, it ignores the idea of somebody putting a wall between the water and the hole in the ground. And I'm sorry, to me, that's so fundamentally flawed as a debunking. Now, again, maybe Dr. Miano was dead right. Maybe the Sphinx is exactly as old as he thinks it is to the day. But that doesn't change the fact that this argument is a flawed one. It is not going to convince anyone that doesn't believe what Dr. Miano already believes. It is absolutely a question that an alt researcher can answer. So, okay, having answered that one, let's see what you got for your next question.
Things that alt ancient history folks can't explain. Baalbek in Lebanon is famous for its well-preserved remains of the Great Jupiter Sanctuary.
Baalbek? No, man, I ain't gonna argue with you about how they move big rocks and tell you that... No, go ahead. You win that one. Congratulations. Now, really quickly before you go, I just have to ask a small favor. If you don't mind, if you know anybody who's into these kinds of videos, if you wouldn't mind sharing them with them as long as it's something you think they'd enjoy, don't make me into some freaking telemarketer thing on it. In the last couple of months, my metrics have been way down. Even though I'm growing subscribers, I'm losing views. And it doesn't make much sense. I've been uploading even more trying to combat it. And consistently, my videos are just not doing well, even when they're doing well. Even when the metrics are great on everything and traditionally it would get shared into the feed and do really good, it's just being snuffed out much earlier or just never being shared into the feed at all. Or in the case of one, it's like it's a timely piece and it waits a week and a half to introduce it to the feed. It's anyway, I could bitch about it all day. Nobody wants to hear another YouTuber cry about their metrics. Just give me a hand here. Share the videos if you don't mind, just so I can get through this hump and I don't lose my mind here. Thank you very much for watching this far. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much to my Patreon supporters. Honestly, I mean, I've been gaining Patreon supporters throughout this, and that it does help. I mean, it definitely takes a sting out of the YouTube thing because it's just weird. Damn it, it's just weird. But anyway, I really appreciate it. So don't forget to share this one with your mom, grandma, and your sister's uncle's cousin's friend. And we will see you next time.